You know, it is Wednesday, and that means it's a doggy dog world. But last week, I gave him the world. I gave it to him. I was out. I was on vacation. What does this brother do? He rolls from that chair. He rolls around here like he's skating around here and all of this other stuff, blowing stuff like it was debris on a chair or something, and gave some whack opening or whatever. Now, I know the man has potential, and I want to apologize to him on national television. Do you know why, Dougie? Why
is that, Stevie?
Because when you ask somebody to be you, that might be a little bit too much. And that's what I did. I asked Doggy to be me. My bad. It's a new day, though. I'm back. First Take's in.
Hi, hello, everyone. Welcome into First Take on a Wednesday. As Stephen A. mentioned, you know what day it is. Christine Williamson here for Molly. And Chineo Gumake joining Stephen A. and Mad Dog. Good
hey,
to see
hey,
you.
Hey, hey, hey.
You guys are matching Stephen A.
We're matching Stephen A.
And I was rocking a similar color weeks ago, and Malika stole the show. You know what I said? Because clearly I don't look better than her.
Right.
And then today I'm thinking I'm going to be looking fly because I do. And then Shanae comes on the scene.
Always.
And she's looking better. I mean, damn, y'all. I mean, damn.
You know, but it's memo. All right. Me and Mad Dog didn't get the pink memo.
It's all right.
I look better than you anyway.
You look better than me?
Oh, I sure
you know
do.
What? You actually
not better
could.
Than Shanae,
you
but
know,
better than
actually,
you.
You know what? To be in your 60s, you do look good, buddy.
Not bad.
You do look good.
You do look good.
I got to give it to you.
Okay.
I got to give it to you.
All right. We're going to get into Embiid's return, the women's Final Four. We also have Lewis Riddick stopping by to talk NFL, and WWE's Cody Rhodes will be here ahead of WrestleMania XL this weekend. Okay, let's start in the association. Last night, the Warriors overcame Luka Doncic's 20th triple-double of the season to beat the Mavs 104-100, snapping Dallas's 7-game win streak and extending their own win streak to 5 straight games. 6 Warriors scored in double digits, while Stephen Curry shot just 5-for-18 from the floor. So the Warriors are now 3 games ahead of the Rockets for the final play-in spot out west. Golden State has 7 games remaining this season, including road games against the Rockets and the Lakers. All right, I'm going to start with you on this one, Stephen A.
Yeah.
Do you still believe that the Warriors can go on a run?
I do. Listen, one of the things that I monitor, Shanae, Dougie, is this. First of all, understand how important shooting is. You got to be able to shoot from the perimeter. You got to be able to make free throws come playoff time, because obviously the game doesn't speed up. It relatively slows down to some degree. Obviously, you can get through the free throw line, and you got a lot of teams that aren't as efficient as the Golden State Warriors. So I don't think we can ignore that. But let me tell y'all this. They're on a 5-game winning streak. First 4 of those games were on the road. They won all 4 of those games. This is when noise was being made about the Houston Rockets, led by Ime Udoka, nipping at their heels. And all of a sudden, they go on a winning streak. And they
Coach of the month, Ime.
There we go, all right? So we got to pay attention to that. Do you know that the Warriors are leading everybody in defensive efficiency over that period of time? And basically, 4 of the 5 opponents held to 100 points or fewer. We can't ignore that. Oh, by the way, the wonderful, the wondrous, the greatest shooter God ever created. And Steph Curry, only averaging 20 points over this streak, but shooting 41% from three-point range, just like he had last night. What, he had 13 points on 5 of 18 shooting, but he still hit 3 of his 5 shots from three-point range. Other dudes are stepping up. I'm looking at Wiggins showing that he has a pulse. Draymond Green doing something for you offensively, and we know what he brings defensively. There's a collection of individuals that's shown up, and I'm looking at it from that perspective. Your ability to shoot, your ability to score is one thing, but what was the ingredient to the Golden State Warriors' success throughout those years? Defense. They played defense, and that is what they are doing now. They are being effective with it. They now have a 3-game cushion on the Houston Rockets, so they don't really any longer have to worry about being in the play-in. They've got 7 regular season games left, 4 on the road against the Rockets coming up, against Dallas, against the Lakers, and against the Blazers. I believe they'll win at least 2 of those games. They got 2 games against the Jazz at home. I think they'll win both of those games, and, of course, they've got a game against the Pelicans. I'm just looking at the Warriors right now. Anytime you've got a superstar who can explode and you have shooters surrounding him along with himself, and they can hit free throws, you cannot ignore the potential impact they can have.
Well, I beg to differ on the shooting scenario, the best shooter God ever created. You've never heard of Bill Sharman.
You just need to stop. You just need to stop. But go ahead. But just go ahead.
You never heard of him.
I heard of Bill Sharman.
I'm just throwing out there.
Okay, go ahead.
Number 2, take it easy on the winning streak. They beat Charlotte. They beat Miami. Butler didn't play. Take it easy on a road winning streak.
But Miami's these
days. And he never plays anyway. Butler never plays these games.
He'll play in the postseason.
Yeah, if he's not up three, if he's 3-0, we'll take a day off. But yes, you're right. If he's two. But so that's number two. And number three, Steve, be careful here because look where they are in the standings.
Okay.
They are not going to overtake the Lakers because they're two back. You're right. They're going to get the play-in spot because they're obviously in a much better scenario than the Rockets are. They probably, to make the main body of the postseason, they're going to have to beat the Lakers in L.A., and then they're going to have to go beat the Sun King loser at the moment on the road just to make the postseason. Now, they got a good road record. They're 22-15. So they can, and Curry gives you a chance every game you play on the road because you can have one of those incredible shooting days. Mm-hmm. But think about it. They're 10th right now, and just to maybe play Denver in the first round, they got to beat the Lakers in L.A., the Phoenix King loser on the road, and then they get the Nuggets, most likely, in a seven-game series.
I wouldn't say most likely. I mean, the Nuggets only a half game up on Oklahoma City and Minnesota with the same amount of losses. So I wouldn't say it's likely.
Let's say they play Denver.
Okay. Let's say they won't.
Well, don't give me that. You're ruining my argument. And you're interrupting me. L.A., Phoenix, and the Nuggets. They're going to lose to some of those teams.
Okay.
There you go.
Go ahead, Sinead.
Look, Stephen A., I really wanted to come on this program this beautiful morning. We're matching and keep that same energy. But I have to disagree with you because you prefaced your argument on the last five games by the Golden State Warriors. This is an 82-game season. And yes, you said that the defense has been better. It actually has. But the Golden State Warriors, their best version of a team that can go on a run, not only had the best offense, which their offense has been a little bit subpar in the NBA, but they also had a top to defense. Right now, they're in the middle of the pack with the 11th best offense, and they also have the 14th best defense. Right in the middle of the pack. The last five games have pushed those numbers up, but the last five games have not told the story of an 82-game season. Now, the Golden State Warriors, they can go on a run, but based on their unique challenges that we have seen this season, they're more likely to probably, as Mad Dog said, run into a wall. Their biggest challenge right now, which they have handled to some degree, was handling the run of the Houston Rockets right on their heels in the play-in. Now, if you watched last night, you would be happy because they won with Steph only scoring 13 points. Draymond talking about defense, being back to being that dog defensively. Oh, yeah, Maddie. You know what I mean? They held the Mavs, and Draymond single-handedly held the Mavs to shooting 6-for-16 as the closest defender. And then he scored on those stops going downhill, especially in the second half of the game. Also, Wiggs, who was their greatest X factor 2 years ago, you know, when they won the title, dropped 23 points. The Warriors looked good last night, but that was one of 82 and one of a really decent five-game stretch. Overall this season, the only thing consistent about them is that all players not, you know, named Steph Curry, their inconsistency themselves being up and down with their play. They found a little bit of magic, but still, even Steph, the greatest shooter that we have ever seen, has had shooting lulls this season, this year, and it's more likely they run into a wall than go on a meaningful run.
Well, first of all, clearly you're not a Janet Jackson fan. What have you done for me lately? I mean, that's where I'm at. I don't want to hear about no 82 games. I'm going to lean on the last five.
How dare you?
I'm going to lean on the last five. Last time I checked, Sinead, I mean, the bottom line is we got to pay attention to the momentum that you have flowing into the postseason. Now, the Lakers have recently won five straight. They won seven of their last eight. It should be eight of their last nine because they're going up against Washington. Then beating Milwaukee was an anomaly, an aberration. Dame Dolla didn't play. I don't expect the Washington Wizards to beat the Los Angeles Lakers, but I'm looking at the Los Angeles Lakers right here. You got Cleveland, you got Minnesota, you got Golden State and New Orleans in four of your last five games to close out the season. Let's see how interesting that be. I don't think it's a lock that they're going to be the ninth seed and Golden State's going to be the 10th seed. So let me throw that out of the way. Secondly, again, let's omit Denver because we understand that's a different beast, that's a different animal. And I concede that Golden State is no match for Denver. That's their kryptonite. You go up against the Denver Nuggets, I don't think that's a team they're going to beat. That's the bottom line. But when you look at the other dudes in front as potentially number one seeds, assuming that Golden State as a 10th seed beats Los Angeles, beats one of the other two teams, gets in as an 8th seed, all right? The bottom line is this. when you're going up against young dudes that ain't been there before, against veterans who are champions who clearly have been there before. You know this just as well as I do, Doggy and Janae. Sometimes that works against you. That experience is a bit too much for young thoroughbreds to overcome, particularly that early in that early stage. I look at Minnesota, I see how formidable they are, particularly with their size. It would be problematic, obviously, for the Golden State Warriors. What if it was OKC, who's only a half game out? Same number of losses in the loss column. When you're big, your definition of a big is Chet Holmgren, okay? Who, I mean, can compete with me in terms of, you know, body mass or what have you. Bottom line is, I'm looking at it from this standpoint, and I'm saying, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. We can't summarily dismiss the potential noise that the Golden State Warriors could ultimately put out there. It is possible. And that's all I'm saying.
Phoenix at Lakers in a playing game in 2 weeks. The game's in L.A. Loser goes home. Who's winning the game?
I'm sorry, Phoenix?
Phoenix? I'm sorry, I said Phoenix. Golden State Lakers playing game in 2 weeks. The game's in L.A. Who wins the game?
I think Golden State got a chance to win that.
I didn't ask you that.
I think Golden State got a chance to win that
game. Life on the line. Chance, that's not the answer, Steve.
Saying there's a chance.
Who wins the game?
Life on the line. I hate that analogy, but life on the line, okay, I give it to you. I picked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
Let's
say they win the game, and then they got to play at Phoenix. Life on the line just to make the playoffs.
At Phoenix, they can win that game? I'd give the Golden State Warriors
Phoenix.
I'd give them a better chance against Phoenix than I would against the Lakers.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
All right.
They have to win them both, Steven.
Wait a minute. You can't sit up there and ask me, what do I think's going to happen with them and the Lakers? Okay, if they beat the Lakers, what will happen in Phoenix?
Well, then they got to beat Phoenix after that, Steve.
And then you say, hey, I'd give them a better chance against the Lakers.
They got to win two road games just to make the big body of work.
Two road games?
Yes.
I have to jump back in here. Yes.
I have to jump back in here because Stephen A. tried to slander me on Janet Jackson, which I will not accept. Because that's the way that my basketball love goes. Thank you. Stephen A. Doggy, thank you so much for bringing up those two potential play-in matchups. We're still vibing because versus the Lakers will have the second best player on the floor between LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Versus the Suns will have the second best player on the floor between Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. That's the challenge that the Golden State Warriors are up against. It's not Steph. It's the second best players that they're going to have to go up against over the course of the entire postseason. And again, this makes me want to scream. Scream, Stephen A., another great collaboration, another great song.
I wasn't feeling Scream. I wasn't feeling Scream. Me personally, I wasn't feeling Scream. That's why I didn't bring that up. I just wasn't. I wasn't feeling Scream by Janet Jackson. That didn't move me. Control did. But that's a different subject for another day. The point that I'm trying to make to you is this. When you look at Phoenix, all right, Shanae, what has been their problem? They haven't been performing in fourth quarters. Losing double-digit leads, suddenly not being able to find their offense, the defensive prowess that Frank Vogel is known to scheme and what have you, that hasn't been nearly as effective as we had anticipated. We've found ourselves asking many, many questions about the Phoenix Suns. And when you look at the Big Three, even though they haven't played an abundance of games together, when you look at the Big Three, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, excuse me, why are you in the position where you're in a playing game? I think if I was looking at their record together with the games that they played with one another, their record was like, 21-13 or something like that. I'm like, well, damn. They should be better. What the hell's going on? Why is that a problem? I'm looking at all of those things, and I'm saying, you know, Phoenix is there to be had. I believe in KD, the superstar that he is, and you know how I feel about Devin Booker. But something is clearly missing from the Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
I think they could be had.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Joel Embiid finished with 24 points, leading the 76ers to win versus the Thunder. It was Embiid's first game in 9 weeks following knee surgery. Stephen A., can the 76ers go on a run in the East with Embiid now healthy?
No, not to me. I don't believe yet. I want to applaud Nick Nurse, you know, and by the way, Allen Iverson, you know, just texted me. Yeah, bro, I am looking pretty fly. He just texted me to tell me I was looking pretty fly. I just wanted to let the world know that my boy AI.
What about the rest of everybody?
My boy AI is watching First Take right now. He said his boy Stephen A. looking pretty damn fly. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my bro. Here's the deal, okay? I look at the Philadelphia 76ers. I want to give props to Nick Nurse. I think that he's done an outstanding job considering the circumstances as the head coach for the Philadelphia 76ers. They've quickened their pace. We've seen the elevation of Tyrese Maxey. We understand that if Joel Embiid was there, the Philadelphia 76ers would be battling for a top three seed in the Eastern Conference. Without him, they're like 14-27, something along those lines. We get it. We understand it. I get it. My issue is that he's not 100%. He's not going to be 100%. And when I look at the Boston Celtics, that's a given. I don't care about Milwaukee's struggles. I think that they would have their way with the Philadelphia 76ers because Embiid is not healthy, even though he was out there last night. I think the New York Knicks, if Julius Randle and OG Anunoby come back, listen, forget Julius Randle for a second. If OG Anunoby and Mitchell Robinson came back, I still think that's enough to beat this 76ers squad. That's where I'm at with it, but it's really primarily because, Shanae, I don't have a lot of faith in the health of Joel Embiid. He's such a superstar talent. I just don't think that he has the legs to go through a lengthy postseason run. I don't see it. I see them going home once again in the second round at the latest.
All right, let's talk about another matchup that went down last night. Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets welcomed Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs to town. And this battle went to the Joker. Jokic had 42, giving them sole possession of first place in the West, while Wemby had 23 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, and 9 blocks, a near quad double. Now, with that, he became the fourth player with at least 20 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, and 8 blocks in a game since blocks became official in 1973-74, joining Chris Webber, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He just missed becoming the fifth player to record a quadruple double. Stephen A., how close is Wemby to being a top 10 player in this league?
He's getting pretty damn close. He's getting pretty damn close already. And the reason I say that is because of this. He's 7'5". And the impact that he has on the defensive side of the ball. So much time we get caught up in the offense. We forget that there's both sides of the ball that need to be played in a lot of instances. Do I think he's a top 10 player, close to being a top 10 player offensively? No. because obviously, even though he's got a jump shot, he's got a handle, you know, he's still rail thin, and there are limitations when you're that thin. But he has skills. But where he really tips the scales for me is how he impacts things defensively. Yes, he went against Jokic, and Jokic last night dropped like 42 and 16. This is Nikola Jokic we're mm-hmm. talking about here, okay? I mean, a man can't – he's one of the most amazing players I've ever seen in my life. The man can't jump onto a curve. He can't jump onto a curve, and you can't stop him. Can't stop. There's nothing you can do about it. I've never seen anything like it. It's unbelievable, you know, and major, major props to him. But even though he had 42 and 16, Wembanyama still had his 23. The man had 9 blocks.
Right.
9. When you're 7'5", that's something that you can't teach. And when you're able to have that kind of impact on both sides of the ball, particularly surrounded with close to nothing, because he is right now. San Antonio don't have much. They need a whole bunch down there in San Antonio, okay? I have to give credit where credit is due. And more importantly, Shanae and Doggy, I got to listen to the personnel, his contemporaries. When they talk about this kid and they talk about what he brings to the table and they talk about how formidable he is, again, most of it evolves around the fact that he's 7'5". It's still the most embarrassing photo I've ever seen of myself in my life when I was interviewing him and I came up to here. You know what I'm saying? And I literally had to stretch to get the damn microphone up to him. I've never had that experience in my career. It was unbelievable. You know, so I was mini-me for crying out loud. It was crazy. You know what I'm saying? But he's 7'5", man. And when you look at what he brings to the table defensively, that's where it tips the scales for me, which is why I say he's not there, but he's close.
Take it easy, Steve.
Oh, come on, man.
What is he, Marvin Webster all of a sudden?
You know what? Marvin, what's it? You bring up
the
Marvin
human
Webster.
Human eraser, baby.
The Supersonics. But that's what you're doing. We're bringing up Marvin Webster.
Well, here's what I
can. Like, we didn't know who that was.
Well, I wasn't sure. You no, got it right.
Good one now. Hey,
can I do something on Wembanyama? I did a little work on it today.
Okay.
What did he shoot last night in the game?
I'm sorry.
9 of 29.
Okay, 9 of 29.
Now, what did he shoot from 3?
But that's one game,
dog. Hold on now. Time out.
One game.
What did he shoot for 3?
He shot 2 for 11.
Okay, and the opponent scored how many points against him?
42.
And who won the game?
Denver.
Okay. Now, go look at Kareem. You guys are making him out to be so much better than he is. Go look at Kareem. You know what Kareem did in his rookie year? He averaged 29 a game. He shot 52% from the field. This guy shoots 46%. He averaged 14.5 rebounds a game. And his team went from 26 wins to 56 wins. Mm-hmm. When you are a center, can I have a few wins? They have won 18 games. And don't tell me that Kareem had a great cast, because the year before they stunk and Oscar wasn't there yet. The team was terrible and Kareem went 56 and 26. And I got to listen to you now tell me that he's a top 10 player. Listen, Wembanyama is fun to watch. He's a pogo stick. He's got a lot of ability. He's going to be great, but take it easy. Rookie centers are expected to do this. Look at Olajuwon and Russell and Kareem and Wilt and Shaq, all the Moses Malone, all these guys had great, their teams won. The man has won 17, 18 games. Mm-hmm. And you're going to sit there and tell me, well, the supporting cast. Go look at Kareem's roster in 1970. I did. John McLaughlin.
Right.
Carlos Boozer. What? Who not Carlos?
No, it wasn't Bob, Carlos Boozer.
Bob.
Carlos Boozer. Carlos Boozer.
I got the wrong guy.
Wrong guy.
He wasn't born at that time, but go ahead.
You get the idea. You get the idea.
Carlos
and you're
Boozer.
Sitting here telling me put him in the top 10? Oh, come on, come Steve. On. Please, come you're better. You are better than that. You're better than that.
I'll let Janae come in and then I respond to your drivel that you just spewed out
just
there. Go ahead, Janae. Go ahead, Janae.
Respectfully, Doggy, my basketball playing blood is boiling a little bit because mm-hmm. I feel like when we talk about Kareem, we put him in the context of being the greatest of all time. But how was the center position being played back then versus how is the center position being played right now? When you look at Nikola Jokic, when you look at Joel Embiid, when you look at Anthony Davis, the way the game is right now, what Victor Wembanyama is doing is out of this world. That is why we're talking about him being compared by one of the greatest of all time in LeBron James to an alien. The numbers that he's stuffing the stat sheet from the blocks to not only like the blocks and the points. Did you know in the last 20 games, he has 101 assists along with the 93 blocks? To me, he is, I'm right there with Stephen A. He's knocking on the door of being one of the top 10 or so players in the NBA. Now, yes, what would push him over the edge to being in that actual conversation is wins. But the San Antonio Spurs right now are not designed to win. They're designed to try to figure out what roster in 2 years can bring about those wins with a Victor Wembanyama that has acclimated himself to the NBA. I mean, Wemby came into the season with the moniker by Woj as the greatest prospect that we have ever seen. Everyone has rookie seasons. Yes, maybe it's not as efficient as you like because people back then with Kareem or even Wilt were not shooting these three-point shots. But there are still welcome to the league moments. But not everyone is Victor Wembanyama. He blocked Jokic, and this is where I go to the defense, Stephen A. He blocked Jokic, the favorite for MVP, 4 times last night. Yes, he will always give you 20 points. But that defense, I think a lot of times when we think about best players in the game, it's typically skewed by offense. Oh my gosh, look at what Jokic is doing from the assist standpoint and combining his scoring. Oh my gosh, look at what Luka is doing. It's typically skewed by offense. Now, what has translated immediately as a rookie has been his defense. He instantly walked onto the floor, as Stephen A. mentioned, and put himself in the conversation of, could this guy potentially be a defensive player of the year as a rookie? The defense is where he excels, where he changes the game. His offense will be a little bit slower, but I don't want to fault the guy for taking the shots that he will have to take in order to be great. You see what he does with the ball in his hands, with his ball handling, with his touch around the rim, his face up. Yes, the three-point shot is probably his greatest limitation, but over the course of this season, he's improved at that. Yes, maybe not last night, but overall, his defense has always been there as a rookie. His offense is getting there. He's touching every stat. And we're talking an isolated year where he's going toe-to-toe. He blocked Giannis in a statement a couple months ago. He's blocking Jokic. We're seeing someone in real time having true impact. If his teammates were better, they would be winning, and the conversation would be different.
Appreciate that, Janae. Let me get back to dogging a couple of things. Number one, Carlos Boozer was born in 1981.
Oh, Boozer, I made a mistake. Jeez.
He was born in 1981.
Poor Boozer.
He was born in 1970. So let me play that. He was born in 1981. He's 42 years old. That's number one. Number two, I love how you try to switch it. You brought up Kareem and Shaq and all of these other people. Nobody said, how close is Wemby to being a top 10 player of all time? Or a top 10 big man of all time.
Thank you.
We're talking about now, this season. That's all we're talking about. Compared to contemporaries playing in the game today. And this is where you get slick and you have to be reeled in. Because you see, when you talk about today's player, nobody complains about them more than you. So in other words, me sitting up there and pointing out how this dude is a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. By the way, he's averaging 21 and 10. On 46% shooting from the field.
And what's he shooting from three, Steve?
31%, but he's shooting 46% from the field.
How about a little less threes?
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. It's a little less threes. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is that...
At
7'5", okay, he's shooting threes at over 30%. It'll improve, but he's shooting 46% from the field. He's averaging 21 and 10. There's a couple other things, because you like your numbers, so I looked up some numbers. Wemby's on track to become just the 10th different player in NBA history to average 20 and 10 with 3 blocks per game in the season. Do you know who the other 9 are? Allow me to help you out here. Olajuwon, Robinson, Kareem, Mourning, Ewing, Shaq, Bob Lanier,
Bob McAdoo,
Elvin Hayes. You like that?
Okay.
Ooh. That's the category that he's in, okay? By the way, leads the NBA with 3.5 blocks per game this year. One of only 4 players averaging 20, 10, and 5 assists since the All-Star break. The other 3 are Luka, Giannis, and Jokic. Now, again, we're talking about now. We're not talking about historically. We get it. He's not there yet. But when you look at today's game and you take into account defense, which when you leave First Take, you definitely go on Mad Dog Radio, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every weekday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, on SiriusXM, Mad Dog Radio. That's where his show is. That's the host right there. You always talk about, where do they got to focus? I mean, everything is about points, points, sports. When are they going to focus on defense? It's not just about offense. It's about defense. But when we bring up Wembanyama, all of a sudden you want to ignore the point of defense being an obviously integral part of the game. That's what you're doing, doggy, and you're not getting away
with it this morning. Well, here's the problem I have with you. How many wins?
Great impression.
We didn't bring up the wins.
Well, that doesn't count.
No, not right now.
He's got 18.
Not for a rookie with no squad.
How about Alcindor? He had nobody in Milwaukee.
Didn't Shanae Ogumike, by the way, you know, as a female, one of the greatest analysts in America right now, didn't she just educate you about how, excuse me, times were different back then? The game was played differently? Now, we're not sitting up there and disrespecting the elders. We're not doing all of that, okay? All we're saying is that the game was far different at that particular moment in time. And the Wilts and the Kareems and what have you were practically a foot taller than everybody they were going up against. And it wasn't the level of parity that exists today. Not to mention the fact pace of play has changed. It's more of an up-tempo style. Not to mention the fact that deep, you know, from a schematic perspective, when you're looking at centers and what have you, the game is power forwards. You ain't really, or now today's definition of a power forward, the guy that's step away 15 feet from the basket and shoot jump shots. Centers, Jokic and Embiid really are the only true centers in the game, which Shanae pointed out. So are you listening? We hear you, but are you listening to us?
You called them the greatest prospect of all time?
I did not say that.
Who said that?
I didn't say that.
Whoa, Doggy, as much as I want you to respond, we do have to get to break. I'm not trying to pile this on at all, but I do want to read a stat
fast.
He's the second player with 100 assists, 90 blocks over any 20 games.
Wins.
But do you know who the other
guy?
Who's the other guy?
What was that stat? I'm sorry.
Second player with 100 assists, 90. Thank you. It was Kareem. So he's joining Kareem as the second player.
I mean, listen, he's playing with dudes a tad bit better than you.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
WrestleMania XL takes place this Saturday and Sunday from Philadelphia, featuring a main event between Universal Champion Roman Reigns and the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, who will be live in studio today. But another WWE star had a message for Stephen A. Take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is not Stephen A. Smith. I'm far too good looking and a much better host. My name is Paul Heyman. And you're watching First Take.
Louis Riddick is here, by the way. Stephen A.
I am. Your response? Listen, let me tell you something. If I wanted to do anything with wrestling, it would be a heel as a manager, a bad manager. You know, I'd be a bad guy manager. That brother right there, Paul Heyman, is sensational. He is the real deal. I mean, I thought I could talk some smack.
Yeah.
I got nothing on him. Nothing. He came in the studio last year.
I was like,
everybody calm down now, because you had swag going, others going at him. I was like, whoa, you don't want no piece of that. You don't want no piece of that. He's something else. He said, I love that man.
Yeah, that's
love
really great. Really great.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right, let's get things started in the NFL. To the NFL we go. Robert Griffin III posted on X this week asking his followers whether or not Stephon Diggs is essential to his quarterback Josh Allen's success in Buffalo. One fan responded essentially saying no, to which Diggs himself ultimately responded, you sure? All right, so as I mentioned, Lewis Riddick here, looking dapper, I might say, per usual. I'm going to start with you.
I didn't see the Chippendales look today. I mean, it's very conservative.
It's always a three-piece suit.
Professional look today, as opposed to, you know, the usual, you know, Mr. Chippendales.
That makes you uncomfortable. That makes him uncomfortable. Yeah, this is conservative, but, you know, I got a few things to film after this today, you know?
Okay.
I've got a few things to, you know, couple. It may not be brick. I may not be doing general hospital.
You're not the only one who's busy.
Listen, I'm here for everybody. I want everybody to be successful, so I'm happy. You go, you do yours. You know what I'm saying? You know that. So let's.
Okay, speaking
brick.
Of success.
You call him Brick for this.
That's a good idea.
Please do.
Speaking of success, do you think, Stephen A., that Diggs is essential to Allen's success?
I think he is. I just think that they've missed their window. That's how I feel about the Buffalo Bills. Now, that's almost sacrilegious for the Bills Mafia and others to hear, because when you have somebody as great as Josh Allen, there's always a chance, and I get that. I'm only comparing it, fellas, to what we were saying about them 3 years ago or so, after they had that divisional playoff encounter at Arrowhead Stadium when they were going back and forth, and it was such an incredible game, and Kansas City ended up winning that out. We looked at Buffalo as being a step away. We looked at them as being, okay, this is it. This is their time. And then they turn around and they lose to Cincinnati in the playoffs. They lose last year. They lose, you know, again this year. We look at them, and I'm saying you see the fragmentation kicking in. Your offensive coordinator is in, and then he's out. This is after Brian Daboll took the head coaching job for the New York Giants, okay? So you're in, you're out. All of a sudden, there's noise about McDermott and whether or not he's going to last. We looked at Gabe Davis as a number two. We liked him a lot, but he departed. You get Curtis Samuel, but he's not the threat that Gabe Davis is, or he's not perceived as being that kind of threat. Plus, we heard noise, and I reported that Stephon Diggs was looking to leave. Mm-hmm. He wasn't looking to stay in Buffalo entering last season, okay? So certainly he ain't feeling any better about them now than he was last year. There's just too many things going on that I think that I believe Stephon Diggs, it's not enough for him to overcome. And that's where it is for me personally. And because of that, when I look at them and I look at the Jets, imagining if they're healthy, I'm looking at Miami, imagining what a threat they could be, particularly when they're playing near South Beach as opposed to playing in inclement weather on the road. I'm looking at the rest of the AFC. What has transpired? Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow's coming back healthy. The Pittsburgh Steelers have made some adjustments. We've seen enough from Cleveland to know they're a threat. We've seen enough from the Houston Texans to know they're a threat. Can't ignore Indy. Of course, Kansas City is there. And now Harbaugh's in Los Angeles with the Chargers. There's just too many things that's happening in the conference for me to look at the Buffalo Bills in the same light that I once looked.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want me to go, Lewis?
Yeah, you go, man.
First off, now we hear from Diggs. How about when he dropped the pass, which would have given Buffalo the win against Kansas City, and he blew off the media after
fair,
the game?
Fair, fair. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Fair.
Now I got to listen to him. When he dropped this pass, that would have won the freaking game, for crying out loud. Ah, come on, please. If you're Stephon Diggs going to Hall of Fame in a playoff game, that ball, Lewis has to be caught. Agreed?
I'm with you. But see, you know what? I just want to.
That's one.
Are you done?
One other thing.
Yeah, I got you.
First off, he's wrong. They were 6-6. And again, we're not surprised. They were 6-6 last year. Everybody wrote the Bills off. And if he catches that ball, they might go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because they could have beaten the Ravens, and they should have won this game. They played great against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen played really well second half of the year. He's young enough. They were 6-6. We all wrote them off for dead, and they came back and won 5 in a row. When you have that kind of quarterback, you will never, ever be out of the conversation for being a team that can do something in postseason play. Because I think he's the, you want to say he's third? Because Burrow, I think he's top three in the AFC.
Sure. Now, remember, okay, so the question is Diggs essential to Allen's success? Josh really burst onto the scene when Stephon came into town.
Fair.
Okay, so since 2020, when his first year in Buffalo, that being Stephon Diggs, he's number one in receptions in the NFL among wide receivers, 445. He's number two in targets. He's number four in touchdown catches. He's number three in first downs produced. He's absolutely critical to Josh Allen's success. Absolutely. Now, notwithstanding that play against Kansas
City. Not in that game.
Okay, I get it. I get it. And see, now we're talking about specific moments. Now we're talking about team success, right? So is he critical to Buffalo's teams? Well, sure he is, because you see what happens when he don't produce. You see, you drop that pass is the difference between you going to the Super Bowl and or potential going to the title game and them. Look, it's a huge, huge thing for him to play well and for him to be there. If he's not there this year, let's just say for some reason he's not on that roster this year. They better be getting another receiver in this draft.
I agree.
If you think they're going to win the East and or be a contender in the AFC, they ain't getting there without it. A
couple of things to throw by y'all. Khalil Shakur, you know him.
Yeah.
Caught 39 of 45 targets last year, 87%, averaged 15.7 yards per reception. Also caught five or six deep passes, 20 or more yards last season, for nearly 39 yards per catch. Let's go to Stephon Diggs. Five-game winning streak, end of the season for the Buffalo Bills. Five-game winning streak. He averaged five catches for 43 yards with no touchdowns. Think about that. Last 11 games, first six games, he averaged 8.2 receptions per game. Last 11 games, 5.3. Receiving yards per game, 103.3, first six games. Last 11 games, dipped to half that, 51.2. Let's think about that. 100-yard games. In last 11 games, Stephon Diggs did not have one single 100-yard game.
No.
When I look at it from that standpoint,
yep.
I'm not blaming him and his skill set or lack thereof. I'm not questioning his greatness. What I'm saying is something's missing. Somebody that great, because Stephon Diggs is great.
Yep.
Somebody that great, you don't have those kind of numbers. In the last 11 games of the season, not a single 100-yard game, and your production dips from 103 to 51.2. Come on now.
Yeah.
Something's not right.
Yeah,
and I just think that that's what we got to pay attention to here. This is not about his skill set.
Yeah.
This is not about what him and, you know, him and Josh Allen and what they could do together. It's about what they didn't do. And it's about the frustration that he's been wearing on his sleeve and the kind of impact that will have, because he's saying, basically, I would rather be elsewhere. He's really saying that.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? This reminds me of another situation. Remember last year, in the second half of the year, A.J. Brown in Philadelphia went touchdown list for a long time, I think for the better part of maybe 8 weeks, 9 weeks, and you're sitting there going, this is A.J. freaking Brown. How is he not catching touchdown passes? And I guess my point being this, a lot of those things need context applied to him as to why his production dropped.
Okay.
Is it because of him? Is it because of play calling? Is it because of defenses can make a concerted effort to take one guy and try and limit him severely? How much is a guy like Khalil Shakir benefiting from the fact that we're committing to him, we're rolling coverage to him, you get one-on-ones, you're good enough to beat one-on-ones. Now, if he's not there, what do you think is going to happen to Khalil? What do you think is going to happen to Curtis Samuel? He draws a lot of attention, a whole lot of attention, which brings us back to the original point, which is he essential? Absolutely. And if he's not there, you better get something comparable. Otherwise, you are not winning the East, and you for darn sure ain't winning the AFC overall.
He's not Mahomes, but Mahomes lost Hill, doesn't have great receivers. He's got Kelce, doesn't have great receivers, and he didn't miss a beat, won two Super Bowls with, let's face it, mediocre wideouts. Now, Allen is not on that level, but a great quarterback can figure out a way to make receivers a little better than they are.
Last three postseasons.
You agree?
That's true. But you know what? Probably leads us into an even bigger discussion, which is, like, you just see right there, what you just articulated just kind of shows you just how much Patrick is on a different level.
Well, that I agree with you.
That's a different conversation.
Okay, but we still can't ignore. Listen, last three postseasons for the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen's thrown 16 touchdown passes. Not a single one to Stephon Diggs. Mm. He can't be happy with that.
Yeah. Well, you're speaking to something even bigger, right? I mean, this is there's something.
There's something.
Right, that's something going on with that relationship in the Bills, in Buffalo. All right, speaking of the Chiefs, let's go over to the AFC West. As we know, after 9 seasons with Michigan that ended with a national championship, Jim Harbaugh is headed into his first season at the helm with the Los Angeles Chargers. He's currently preparing for the NFL draft, but, of course, he has had a few months to take in his new coaching home. He spoke to reporters about what the anticipation for the upcoming season is like.
It's like the start of the new year. Happy New Year. That first day of school, just found out your wife was pregnant. Hey, we're gonna have a child. Great. I mean, it's locked, cocked, ready to rock. I'm just like, let's go, you know?
All right, Lewis, I'm gonna start with you on this one. Do you think that Harbaugh poses a threat to the Chiefs in the AFC West?
Yeah, he does. Because, I mean, that press conference, which is wild, man. I mean, he's a wild dude. But see, what
he said. Hey, Dave Campbell was wild, too.
Look, that's true.
He is a good. I remember talking to John Harbaugh this year before we did the Week 18 game between Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And I was giving John his props about just how good of a football operations builder he is, bringing in coaches, changing coaches around, putting them in good positions, how they really then affected the performance of the players on the field, getting a lot out of it. And he had a bunch of guys leave this year, right, who wound up getting coordinator jobs. And he said, you think I'm good at this? My brother is the best that there is at that, at building organizations, building coaching staffs, building up players, teaching players how to win. That's something that's desperately been, because every year we talk about the Chargers and we talk about the fact that this is one of the most talented teams in the NFL that were being underutilized, underdeveloped, that really weren't spreading their wings, right, so to speak, to the degree that they should. He'll get that out of them. Mm-hmm. He'll get that out of Justin. He'll get that out of this offensive line once he fixed the right side of it. He'll get it out of Gus Edwards. He's going to be a battering ram for them as a running back. And on the defensive side, I promise you this, as long as Joey Bosa can stay healthy and Khalil Mack are healthy, these two guys will terrorize. They will terrorize, and Derwin James the same.
Well, number one, eventually he'll get to Mahomes. He's not getting him to this year.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while. They have no receivers. Eckler leaves. And, you know, I know you know a lot more about football than me. When I see Bosa and Mack for this franchise make a big play in a big game on defense, call me.
I'm with you.
Call me.
I'm with you there.
Call me there.
This guy's still on the field.
I mean, listen, you got Herbert. He's one in the NFL. Eventually, they're going to be a good team. I'm not quite ready to say they're going to challenge the Chiefs in 2024.
Well, I'm not trying. Listen, I think that on its face, I can't argue with you about that. What I would tell you is this. Do I get to look at a resume? Do I get to look at you in 4 years as the coach in San Francisco, as an NFL coach? You went to 3 NFC championship games when nobody saw it coming. I think I get to do that. Mm-hmm. Do I get to do it when we didn't hear about Colin Kaepernick until you put him in the starting lineup? I get to do that. Mm. Do I get to look at you restoring Michigan to national prominence, even though that's on a collegiate level and what have you, in terms of all the years you were struggling against Ohio State, and then all of a sudden you righted that ship and you went to back-to-back postseason appearances and you won a national championship before walking away? I get to look at all of that. And then I got to look at you and your reputation and player development and how you big up dudes and you find dudes that nobody was anticipating and nobody was thinking about. I'm also looking at Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. I know these brothers can play. But the reality is that you had two $20 million a year wide receivers that were missing the playoffs, mm-hmm, with Justin Herbert as your quarterback. Now, injuries had obviously a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that's your reality. And so I'm looking at a Jim Harbaugh coming up in there, and I'm saying he's seeing all of this. Plus, he knows how to evaluate talent. And maybe he's finding diamonds in the rough. I'm looking at a Quentin Johnson, a Joshua Palmer, a Darius Davis. These are wide receivers that you got never really paid any much attention to them. Maybe he believes in them. Maybe he's looking at them and saying, we need to get a bit more roughhouse offensively. That's why we went out and got Gus Edwards to run the football. He's more of a bell cow coming out of the running back spot than an Austin Eckler would be, even though I love me some Austin Eckler, okay? And then you look at what you want to do defensively, because they had some problems last year as well. And we know he's not going to tolerate that. All I'm saying is, when I look at Jim Harbaugh, he gives me cause to pause and makes me say, there's a reason to believe if anybody can disrupt the dominance of a Kansas City, particularly in the AFC West division, I think he's somebody that figures out. Look, I think he's the kind of guy that's looking at, this is who's standing in our way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the path.
It may not
this
be right away.
Yeah, that's my point.
But it's coming.
Okay. I agree with that. Yeah. All right, got to leave it there.